Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
I want to invite you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah 40. We're going to be in verses 27 through 31, and as you do, I want to say a couple things. One, it's Miss Faye's 90th birthday. It's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah. So happy birthday. Happy birthday. And two, thank you, Miss Karen, for leading us. You're not a leftover. Is she? She's not, is she? She does a wonderful job. Thank you so much. Thank you. And thank you, choir, and Miss Christie as well, and folks back in the booth for putting up with me not doing what I'm supposed to when I'm supposed to do it. So this morning we find ourselves on the eve of 2018, and we are going to be in four verses in God's Word that begin with a question. This is the prophet Isaiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to address different things that are happening during his time in his world amongst God's people. And several things had happened to God's people. They had been through some hard seasons. At times it was due to their own sin. At other times it was just due to life. And at this particular juncture, if you look at verse 27 of Isaiah 40, you'll see that Isaiah is addressing something that he is hearing God's people say, or he is seeing God's people think. He says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel?" He's addressing God's people here, and he says, "Why do you say this? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God." When you pay attention to that statement, "My way is hidden from the Lord," in other words, God doesn't really know what my circumstance. He doesn't know the trials, the suffering I'm walking through right now. He must not know. Is my way hidden from the Lord? Then the second statement, my right is disregarded by my God. In other words, the Lord may know what's going on in my life, but he must disregard it. He must not care. If he is able to know and do something about it, he must just simply disregard it. But there's two questions here that Isaiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is addressing in the hearts and minds of God's people. Does God even know what's happening? Does he have the ability to deliver me from my circumstances? Or if he does have the ability, does he even care? Has he disregarded the things that are happening to me? Has he disregarded me? See, as God's people, we are tempted to ask those questions, aren't we? And we hear the world ask those questions out loud. They say it outright. They say either God doesn't care or he is not able, if he exists. We hear that question. If you pay attention and you talk to unbelievers, you will hear that accusation. But if we pay attention to our own hearts, we may not say it out loud, but sometimes we find ourselves living as if that is exactly what we believe. We find ourselves as God's people, those who by faith in Christ have been adopted into his kingdom as his children. We find ourselves sometimes living as if we believe that God doesn't care about my plight or he's not able to do anything about it. And Isaiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is calling God's people out on that. This is what's in your mind and heart, and this is what you need to know to address that struggle of doubt in your mind and heart. So, before we even pray and get into God's Word and the rest of these three verses, I want to ask you a question. What has your 2017 been like? Perhaps, we say this every once in a while, perhaps your 2017 has been filled with victories, abundant blessings from the Lord, and you sit on December 31st of 2017 and you are thankful for the abundant blessings in your life. Health, finances, family, good relationships, good friendships, like it's been a blessing. Or perhaps you sit at the end of a season that has been hard and you can't see the end of. And it seems like one bad circumstance has been piled up on top of another bad circumstance. Feel like the car that is just going over so many bumps, you feel like that car might just fall apart before you get off that road. Or maybe you just feel like your car has just run into a brick wall. And you sit at the end of 2017 and at the beginning of 2018, and you look out in front of you, and if you're honest, you're tempted to say this: is my way or my circumstances even known by my God? Or does he even care? And the good news this morning is that our God knows that we are tempted, that the enemy tempts us to think that way. He knows it, and he addresses it directly in his word. Praise God. And that is where we're going to be this morning. So perhaps your heart is struggling this morning with that doubt, or perhaps you know someone who is. But Christian, wherever you sit, this is God's word, and it is for us this morning. This, the Bible, is his word, and it is for us wherever we sit this morning. If you're here and you don't follow Jesus, you haven't trusted him, I want to encourage you to listen with an open heart and open mind to his word. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We trust you. We want to trust you. We want to glorify you with our lives. We want to enjoy glorifying you with our lives, Lord. And Lord, some of us I know are struggling in the midst of hard, unimaginably hard circumstances right now. But you know all of those circumstances, and you are able to deliver. And so, Lord, I pray that you would encourage that heart today with your word. God, I know there are individuals who know you that trust in you and are walking with you today, and we sit here today and we may not be in that boat, but Lord, we know some that are our brothers and sisters that are in that boat and need encouragement. And so, Lord, we pray that you would use those of us who know you. We pray that you would give us ears to listen so that we might encourage someone else who is struggling in the days to come. And we pray for the unbeliever who may be within earshot this morning. God, we pray that you would soften their heart to the truth that you are the only God, the only one who is able to save. And not only that, but you love us and you have sent your Son to do just that. Lead us and guide us with your Spirit, Father. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31. Are you ready? All right. Read with me. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. So we're going to dive into this. We're going to see really three, you might could say four, characteristics of God. And what we'll find, as Isaiah points out, these characteristics of God, some characteristics of human beings, of us, kind of rise to the surface too. So we're going to see the characteristics of God. We're going to see the characteristics of every human being with the exception of Jesus. So that includes us. And then we're going to see one promise this morning in these four verses. So you hear the question: is God even able to know about the things I'm going through right now? And if he knows, does he even care? That's the question. So how does God address this? How does he inspire Isaiah to address this in the people he was leading and speaking to, and how does he lead us to address this in our own hearts and minds as his people adopted into the family of God through faith in Christ today? First is, we got the question in verse 27. Look at verse 28. So Isaiah says this. He says, have you not known? Have you not already heard? In other words, Isaiah is looking at the people of God and he's saying, you already know what you need to know to answer your question. You don't already know this? You haven't? Really? You haven't already heard this? I'll say it again. And this is what he says. The Lord is the everlasting God. There's a first characteristic of God. He is the everlasting God. What does this have to do with anything when it comes to these questions? Well, the idea of being everlasting is this, that he is before the beginning and after the end. John, in the book of Revelation, says he is the beginning. He is in. He is the Alpha and the Omega. I don't know any other way to try to illustrate this except to use someone else's illustration. C.S. Lewis painted this picture, and it helped me understand it. I don't know if I'm going to paint it as well as he does, but he says, if you take a dot and you put it in the middle of a chalkboard, a whiteboard, an electronic board that you don't really draw on, whatever you look at, you put it in the middle of a board, and you call that time. You say, in that dot is the beginning and the end of all of history. That's time. And if you take the board that dot is on and you send it out, like you expand it in every direction for eternity, for infinity, and that dot is still sitting there in the middle, the dot is time that we live in, that we're just a drop in the bucket of. The dot is time, and the board that is expanding in every direction for infinity is God. And Isaiah, in addressing this question, he says, God is the Lord, Yahweh, the one whom you have a relationship with, is the everlasting God. He is before the beginning and after the end. Why does this matter? Before I get there, I want us to think about something. We think of our suffering. We are told by God's word that we are but a breath, like a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. And we think of our suffering that most of the time takes place for a season or perhaps seasons in our life. And we're a little bit like a child who's used to going to the grocery store and going to church and going to school and being there, leaving the driveway and being there less than 5 minutes away. Then they get in the car for 20 minutes, and 6 minutes in, what do they say? This is taking forever, right? And we're like, we'll be there in like literally 15 more minutes. Like, we'll be there in a minute. Because we have a different perspective, and what we gain when we try to wrap our minds around the fact that our God is an everlasting God is we gain some perspective. In other words, there has been nothing that has happened. There is nothing that is happening, and there is nothing that will happen that God does not already know about. What surprises us, what takes our breath and knocks us on our back, circumstances after circumstances after circumstances, does not surprise God. And Christian, that is who we have a relationship with. That is who is holding on to us for eternity. So we may have our breath taken away in the worst way possible, but we can take comfort because God does not. He is the everlasting God. We can also say, is our way hidden from him? No, it's not. He knew it long before we did. So God is the everlasting God. Not only that, but continue in verse 28. It says, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He is the creator. So We take ownership over things we create. God has created everything to the ends of the earth. He owns everything. There is nothing that he is not in control of. And that is the second characteristic of God that Isaiah points out. He is the everlasting God, and he is the creator to the ends of the earth. He has created everything to the ends of the earth. We hear about, from time to time, discoveries that scientists make. Like, there's this strange new frog in the Amazon. It has this one dot on its back right leg, and it spits fire. And it's a discovery. I don't know if there's really a frog like that. I don't think there is. But if tomorrow, in the first day of 2018, there was a discovery of a frog with a strange dot and spit fire in the Amazon, it'd be new to us. But to God, it wouldn't be. He was the very one that brought it into being and thought it up to bring it into being. And he owns it. It's his. That frog and the cattle on a thousand hills. And us. We, as his children, are his. We, as his creation, are his. So, you can think of it this way. While there's been nothing that has happened, nothing that is happening, and nothing that will happen that is outside of God's knowledge because he is everlasting, there has been no one, there is no one, and there will be no one that God does not know intimately because he is their creator. And that includes you and me. Our greatest fears, our personalities, our likes and dislikes, the simple things that bring us joy, the things that drive us crazy, he knows all of them. He put us together that way. So is our way hidden from the Lord? No, it's not. He is the everlasting God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth and everything in between, including you and me. Not only that, so he's the everlasting God. He is the creator. Then at the end of verse 28, look at it with me. He says, he does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. So you can kind of get two for one here for the sake of time. His power and his wisdom is inexhaustible. Look, his power is inexhaustible. He does not faint or grow weary. That is something that is completely foreign to us. Our power, our strength, our energy is absolutely exhaustible. My hips were hurting last night. It's a new experience for me. I decided to, climb a mountain. We got, an eighth of the way up the other day. Not because we grew weary, but because we ran out of time. We had to go back down. And I was sore last night. And I was reminded that, I'm going to run out at some point. My power is exhaustible. God's is not. Our power altogether is exhaustible. God's is not. We have these things, and by the way, I was with some of the youth climbing that mountain the other day. They did it. They were awesome. We have these things now. I think a lot of people got them for Christmas gifts. They're like artificial intelligence. There's a popular one called Alexa. It has a name, and you can talk to Alexa. You can say, Alexa, how's the weather outside? Andrew, it's 73 degrees. Should I wear a jacket? No, it's not windy. Right? Ask them all kinds of questions. It will spit out facts to you. What it does not have is the why. Alexa, give me the news. There were over 50 people shot and killed at a country concert in Vegas last night. Why, Alexa? I don't know. See, God's power is inexhaustible. He doesn't grow tired. But his wisdom is inexhaustible. When we yearn to know the why of our circumstances, he may not give us the why, but you can guarantee he knows the why. Why, God? We can ask that. We are not guaranteed the answer to that here and now. But we can take great comfort in the fact that the one we refer to as my God. Look at it, verse 27, the last words of it. My God. He knows. He understands, and his understanding, his wisdom, and power are inexhaustible. There is nothing he does not know. There is nothing he cannot do. There is nothing that he does not understand. So is your way hidden from the Lord, your God? Is my way, my circumstances, my suffering, your circumstances, your suffering, hidden from the Lord, your God? The answer is no. He is everlasting. There is nothing that surprises him. What knocked you flat on your back did not surprise him. He knew it was coming. He is the creator. He created everything. He knew that these sets of circumstances would exhaust you. He knew it. He created you that way. He created me that way. Is he able to do anything about it? Yes, his power is exhaustible. Does he know how to? Can he tell me why? Does he even know why these things are happening? Yes, yes, and yes. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. It's good news. It's good news at the end of 2017, the beginning of 2018. And as we read verse 28, and or we experience suffering and hard circumstances, hardship in our life here now, we should be reminded of three characteristics of ourselves. The fact that in the midst of suffering, I think it's safe to say that you realize that we are not everlasting. In other words, if certain circumstances, whether it be health or finances or stress or family or marriage problems, or the list goes on and on, right? If circumstances persist in that fashion, we are not everlasting. We won't get to the other side of them, not on our own. We realize in the midst of circumstances that we are not in control. The things that are banging us around are not ours. We did not create them. And we're reminded that God is. He is the creator of everything to the ends of the earth. We realize in the midst of suffering that our power is exhausted very quickly. Our wisdom is exhausted very quickly. It doesn't take long at all for us to say, I'm tired, and ask the question, why? Does it? Particularly in the midst of suffering. Our strength and our understanding are absolutely exhaustible. And it comes in numerous ways, right? That exhaustion. Whether it be physical suffering, suffering because you've lost or are losing loved ones, suffering because your family is struggling or your marriage is struggling, suffering because you're struggling financially. We should be constantly aware of these three characteristics of ourselves. If we aren't, we just aren't paying much attention, are we? And so again, it should give us great comfort that God is these things. He is everlasting. He is the one who is in control because he created everything, and his power is not exhaustible. It is inexhaustible. His understanding is also inexhaustible. And we have, through Jesus, if we've surrendered our life, believed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, repented of our sin, through Jesus alone, we are God's children, and we can go to him as our Father. So, is my way hidden from the Lord? No, it's not. Is my right disregarded by my God? Is the other question. Does he care? Is he able to do something? Yes, of course he is. He's everlasting, the creator. His power and understanding is inexhaustible. Yes, of course he can do something about it, but will he do something about it? Look at verses 29 and 31, or 29 through 31. Just read with me. He says, "He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall and exhausted." Scripture right there reminds us that the strongest of us will fail, will grow weary and faint. In verse 30. And he goes on in verse 31, "But they who wait on the Lord, wait for the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So there's a promise here. It's three characteristics of God, three characteristics of us, and one promise that we run into in the midst of these four verses. And it's a great promise. And it's for a specific kind of people. Those who are growing weary, on the edge of fainting, whether it be physically, spiritually, any numerous of exhaustion. Those who are there at that point and are waiting on the Lord. So I want to ask a question. What does it look like for us to wait on the Lord? And I kind of want to answer it by describing what I think it looks like to stop waiting on the Lord. See, when, and some of you have seen this in your families with your loved ones, when we fight physical illness and we know the day is going to soon come when our physical body fails us, what we see oftentimes in someone who is experiencing that personally is when they get the news, they're ready and willing to fight. They're still hungry for life. They're still yearning for health. They still want the nourishment that will bring them, hopefully bring them life and health, so they work for it. And the days and the weeks pass by, and sometimes we see that dissipate. And eventually, sometimes it does. They're no longer fighting for life. They're no longer fighting for health. They're no longer taking nourishment so that they can stay alive physically. And when that day comes, death soon follows. And spiritually, I think that's what it looks like for us to grow weary and faint. Let me be careful. I don't mean that when we grow weary and faint spiritually that we lose our salvation, because we aren't the ones holding on to God. He's holding on to us. Praise Him. But what I do mean is that we can live abundantly here and now, but because of our weariness and coming to the point of fainting, we are no longer living abundantly following the Spirit of God. And I think what it looks like is this. We are bombarded by circumstances. And perhaps it's something that we might describe as suffering. Health, financial struggles, struggles in relationships, struggles in family with children, struggles in family with grandchildren, struggles in family with spouses. And we start out the gate, okay, like this is hard. I'm going to seek my Lord for what He has me to do. And we're hungry for healthy, God-honoring life in those circumstances. And we seek the nourishment we need for that. But then the days persist, and the days turn into weeks, and the weeks turn into months, and sometimes even years, and we grow tired, and we grow weary. And the days that we start out seeking the Lord become fewer and farther between, and we're growing more weary and more weary and more weary until they stop. And we've just settled into it. And we're not saying it out loud, but in our hearts we're asking, Lord, do you even know what's going on in my life? Are you even able to do anything about it? And we no longer wait on Him. We no longer trust Him to do anything about it. And the Scripture says, but they who wait for the Lord, they, that person, those people, will renew their strength. Those people shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those people who wait on the Lord. And I think, take it back. I know what it means to wait on the Lord. What it means to wait on the Lord is in the midst of suffering, you wake up. You open His Word. And you say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to pray. I'm tired. I'm fainting. I'm weary. But I know that none of these things that have knocked me on my back and surprised me surprised You, because You're the everlasting God. And I know that none of these things are outside of Your control, because You created them all. And I know that while I'm tired and powerless and I don't understand, Your power is inexhaustible and Your understanding is unsearchable. So Father, help me through this day. I will wait. I will wait. I don't know what your 2018 holds for you. But as your pastor, as one preaching up here today, I just want you to encourage you. Not listen to me, listen to God's Word. Wait on the Lord. Wait on Him. He is faithful. He can be trusted. He is not only able, but He cares for you. And we see His care on display on the cross of His Son. He put on weakness for those who are weak, so that we might have life abundantly, and we might have power in our weakness, so that we might be able to say, in my weakness, He is strong. This power that raised Him from the dead is the power that is going to get me through this day in a way that honors Him. Just wait on the Lord. If you're here today and you don't know Him, you haven't believed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, know that it is the greatest display of God's power and care for you. And the fact that His Son hung on a cross to die in your place, and 3 days later, He walked out of the grave. He is able and He cares. And you can trust Him. What does it look like to mount up on wings like eagles? It looks like to get up in the darkest of days and wait on the Lord. That's strength, and that strength that doesn't come from our own hearts is strength that can only come from Him. Wherever you are this morning, my prayer is that you would, maybe your waiting has stopped because you fainted. You're a Christian, you're in Jesus. Nothing has changed in that, but you have stopped living abundantly because you've stopped waiting on Him. You can start waiting again this morning. Maybe that's what you need to do. The altar's open, your pew is too. You can pray from where you are, you can come forward and pray. I'm sure others will gather around you and pray if that's where you are this morning. Maybe this morning you're not a believer, you're not a Christian, but you've heard this morning from the Word that He is able and He loves you, and you want to put your faith and trust in Him. I want to invite you to come forward. Tell me. I want to pray with you, pray for you, and lead you through the Word to show you what it means to trust Jesus with your life. However the Lord's leading you to respond this morning, would you follow the Spirit and respond? Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your Word. It is so sweet. God, we thank You for Your Spirit that leads us through Your Word. We thank You for Jesus, who came and lived a life that we couldn't and should have, who came and died the death that we deserved, and then conquered sin and death and hell on our behalf. God, we pray that You would just give us strength to begin waiting on You again, if that's what we need to do. God, we pray that You would soften the heart of the unbeliever. You would lead them to faith and repentance.
We pray that you would be glorified by however we respond this morning. Amen.
Are you hurting, broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo, and I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
outside as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.